Hello, and welcome to the Military Maker Podcast. We're a group of military guys making the transition from the battlefield to the woodshop, who like to talk about making, running a business, innovating, creating, and whatever else comes to mind. So you just might learn something here, or you may not, but what do you have to lose? So go ahead, pull up a seat and join us while we discuss our next mission. But remember, folks, we are vets. Sometimes words slip. So watch your sex.
Flash here.
Right.
I don't know. I see a lot of little holes there. Is that a paintballing mask? What is that?
It's my shot mask.
That's your shot mask?
Yeah. It's like an A-10 Thunderbolt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see that.
It's one of those RZ masks. You guys have heard of the RZ masks. It's one of those.
Yeah, I've got one, and now I want to throw it away so I can buy that one. So what are you guys drinking tonight?
I have Tito's and orange juice.
Tito's and orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Sarge has got the mute. Sarge, we want to hear you.
Man, I just said all kinds of shit and I have my mute. God dang it, man. I swear to God.
I bet it was the best thing you've said in 2 years.
I have Maker's Mark and 7-Up.
Ooh, okay.
All right. Well, I'm pulling up the ladies' seat tonight then. I have got Viking's blood.
You got a true meat.
It's Nordic honey wine with hibiscus and hops.
Wow. That actually sounds pretty good. Really,
it's mead, right? But right. It's a sweet mead, and it's got hops added to it, so it's got a little bit of a I don't want to say beer, but it's got a little bit of an edge to it that normal mead wouldn't have. And sitting at 19% alcohol.
Holy
hell, yeah! So Jesse, have you ever tried making your own mead? I see people do it online all the time. It's like, man, that looks just too damn easy.
So the answer is no/ in progress. We just last time we talked, we harvested about 45 pounds of honey off our beehives this year, which for beginning, I mean, that's not a lot compared to some people, but you need like 5 pounds for mead. And I'm like, well, that 5 pounds is going away. It's going to be in progress. We also got some elderberries harvested here. So I'm going to do some elderberry honey, and I'm going to try to add some hops to it, kind of like this Viking's blood, and we'll see. I'm sure it won't be fit for consumption, but the ingredients are all fresh off the farm here, so it shouldn't cost me anything.
Now, I'll be quite honest. I've never had mead, so I have no idea what it tastes like. But to me, if it's made of honey, it sounds like it might be sweet.
Well, if you drink it out of a horn, good to go. It doesn't matter what it tastes like. You just look. No. I tell you what. So it's just like wine where they have like, you know, dry, semi-dry or semi-sweet or whatever, and then sweet. The dry mead, I won't touch it. Like it's disgusting. But but the sweet honey mead, I mean, it's a dessert. You know, if you've ever had like a port wine, this is kind of...
Okay, gotcha.
If you like port wine, this is sort of in that family, or ice wine, or, you know, kind of a little sweet dessert, you know? But again, it's riding at 19%, so this stuff will... It'll knock you down faster than that other month. Cheers.
So here we are, episode 18. Notice we haven't been around for a little bit. Been kind of on a little bit of a hiatus. We've gotten super busy in our lives, and we've had a lot of scheduling issues, and just getting all of us together at the same time has been an extreme challenge. So, but we've all been super busy. And I know for a fact, Jesse has been super busy because, man, you are throwing out some serious beer tap handles. I've been really impressed seeing those on IG lately.
Well, thanks, Sarge. But I got to be honest, that stuff is sort of old news. I've been elk hunting for the last month. So
that too. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been my bigger scheduling conflict is, I have my daughter post the reel for me. I make them save them in the drafts, have her post them for me. And then I'm out not shooting elk because I'm a horrible hunter. But you know, that's what I was doing. But
are you sure you're a horrible hunter and not just going after horrible elk?
I don't think they were there this year, man. Like everybody I talked to, nobody saw anything. Nobody saw anything. I think there was a couple wildfires to the south of us and they may have pulled a Bambi and took off somewhere, you know? But also it was a late year. So I think in terms of seasonally, the rain lasted longer. The heat lasts a little bit longer. So everything is just a couple weeks behind schedule. schedule. So I think now that the season's over, I think they're going to be all over the place. So, but anyways, Sarge, you've certainly got your fingers in about 500 different projects yourself, it looks like.
Yeah, it's been tough, I'll be honest with you. I've been going through some stuff and then trying to do this business and work full time. So it's been a challenge, that's for sure. Mm.
Flash, what have you been up to?
Oh, hey. Well, for fellow coffee drinkers like myself, happy National Coffee Day. Those that didn't know that. Not much has really changed for me, I don't think. I think we've already announced that we had a grandson born about 6 months ago. So been spending some time with him as I have availability, and a couple camping trips. You know, I feel like my story is always the same. You know, I'm pretty predictable, I guess, in that sense. So knocking out some projects here and there when I can, as I have time. But really, as you guys, I'm sure, know too, our daughter's getting married in November. So I've been trying to do some planning on that, and just had a wedding shower last weekend and stuff of that nature. So just kind of the same old for this old guy.
Now, I wouldn't say predictable. I'd say consistent.
Aren't those synonyms?
But they mean different. Yeah, I mean, sort of. But predictable, I don't know. Predictable seems like I don't know. I would hate to be predictable, okay. But yeah. Consistent, I would say consistent is an attribute. Predictable is...
I see where you're headed. Okay, yeah.
I don't know. Semantics, perhaps. I'm trying to paint you in a better light, Flash.
Thank you. I'm sorry to always bring negativity. It's not my goal, but yeah.
You're just so dang good at it.
Being negative, yeah. That's funny. Oh. It's probably gonna be the most awkward show we've ever taped. So
there's definitely been more awkward shows. I mean, I don't want to call out any one guest. But there's been a guest or two where I'm you know, no disrespect, but may have lost me a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I don't want to keep going back to Sarge's gaffe on the military minute on that. What was that one, Sarge?
Oh, Dixie Rack.
Yeah, that was. That was a little awkward.
Yeah. You know.
I'll be honest. I had no clue. Excuse my language. I had no clue. I had no idea why you guys were laughing at me. I really didn't. It just...
Well, thanks, Sarge. Now I have to hit the explicit button when we upload this, you know? One of these times, I was hoping we'd make a family-friendly episode, but...
I can edit it out.
No, you can't.
Sure, I can.
Not for the video?
What video?
I don't know. We have some patrons out there that watch the video.
Oh, you mean on YouTube? Okay.
Our patrons pay to listen to this, so don't worry about that.
Right, but the videos are unlisted.
Yeah.
So you're never going to see them unless you're a patron.
Yeah.
But for the podcast, I will edit it out. Wow. Anyways, yeah.
Well, hey, guys, should we just get right into the, I suppose, the invisible elephant on Zoom here?
Sure, let's get on with it.
Talk about the plans for the show here. All right, who wants the football?
Well, I'll say a little bit, and then you can take over from there, Jesse.
And then Flash can come in, slam dunk it shut.
Yep, slam dunk it. Go pow.
Pow.
But, you know, we've been at this now. This is our second season, and we've really enjoyed doing the show and all the people out there who listen and everything else like that. And it's been a lot of fun. And, but we really need to rethink of what we're doing here, because we're not gaining the growth and the listenership that we'd like to. And we just don't feel like we're doing, we're not going to meet any particular goals that we have set in the future if we keep going at the rate we're going. So so we got a lot of things that we're gonna have to be working on here after the season's over with.
I don't know that I have a whole lot to add, honestly. As we alluded to early on, we've been a little bit MIA as of late, and as we alluded to, the schedules and the life commitments have kind of gotten in the way a little bit, and we've just kind of been having some conversations as of late to, you know, kind of rethink some things and see if we're putting the best product out there that we can. And if we're not able to do that, then we feel like it's time to go back to the drawing board. So I think that's the point where we're at right now, is, you know, taking a little bit of time, having some good honest conversations, discuss some expectations, discuss maybe some new goals, things we'd like to see in the future. And one of the main things we've always talked about is, you know, what we're what this podcast is about. And we've never hid from that. And that's, you know, one of our primary goals was to try to raise a little bit of money to give back to some kind of veteran organizations or a veteran individual. So, and that's still kind of ringing true at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, not much more to add other than, you know, we feel like we're at a bit of a crossroads with the podcast. And, you know, it's just time to take a little bit of time and rethink some things, have some good conversations, and see where we go from there. Jesse?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I don't think this is going to come as a major shock to anybody, but producing a podcast is hard. Let me reword that. Producing a quality podcast is hard. There's a lot that goes into it. There's not a lot that goes into it if it's a crap podcast. You get in here, you talk about a couple of things, you do a little bit of editing, and you put it online, and it is what it is. The fact is, it goes back to the mission of what we want. We want to help as many veterans or help bring awareness and fiscally, like, actually put money into an organization or a veteran that brings positive influence into, you know, into their lives. And the fact is, the more successful we are, the more we could help. And I mean, flat out, you know, looking at the Patreon account, we've been doing this for 2 years, and we've got about $1,500 that we can put into a veteran. And that's no small amount of money. I'm not saying $1,500 is chump change, but for 2 years of work, I probably could have put in $1,500 and wrote it off my taxes and been further ahead and had in more time. So I'm not complaining. It's just the financial fact. Mm-hmm. 2 years of work does not equal $1,500. It's just not, that's not even minimum wage, right? So, mm-hmm. So we have to be successful, or the current format is not worth our time. And I don't mean to put it so direct like that, but that is the truth, right? And so we have to go back. We have to ask the hard questions of ourselves. And I mean, I'll say me personally, like, am I willing to put the time into this show that is required for my, you know, 33% contribution to make this show both a show that I would want to listen to myself and a show that would warrant people donating money to help with veteran organizations. And the fact is, we've talked about a lot of things, and we haven't really done much of what we talked about. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. I don't want to, you know, we don't need to go into all that. I do want everybody to know the money's still there. It's not, we're not pocketing to this date. The show has only cost us money and time. Every single penny that every Patreon has put in, it's still going to go to a veteran organization. We've throughout the couple of years, we've internally had some discussions, maybe slight disagreements on how to put that money out there. But at the end of the day, we just want it to go to the place that's going to do the most good. And that's why we still have it. You know, and I mean, beyond that, it's just, you know, there's been a lot of life changes for all three of us this year. For all you veterans out there on the cusp of retirement, like, don't take that year lightly. There's a lot going on. I mean, not having a job, I'm busier now. And it's cliche. Every old guy says this, I'm busier now than I was when I had a job. But I'm telling you, everybody wants something of your time. There's just a lot going on. And you know, Sarge has got his business up and going on the side. Flash, your grandparent. I mean, it's just been transitory. Is that a word? Transitory year. Yeah. And, you know, it's not even about the Patreons. If you're going to invest an hour plus of your time to listen to us, we want to make sure that we're not wasting your time. And I guess that's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I'm being honest on here, like, you know, we're on the verge of shuttering the show, you know, we're right there. But there's some people out there who have been excessively loyal, and every message they send us, it's just that little bit of motivation and fire, and it keeps that fire burning. And when somebody sends a message that says how any amount of help that we've given them, whether it's just enjoyment listening to us in the shop or kind of recollection of the good old days, you know, we don't want to give up on you guys. And so, yeah, we're at that crossroads, and I could probably say, and I don't want to speak out of turn, guys, but if we can't come up with a way to make the show better, then they're probably, I mean, I can't say, I can't promise there's going to be a show, but the intention is to put our heads together, ask those hard questions, come back bigger and better. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, I think that's great. And I'll offer this up too, for anyone who listens to this particular episode. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If you have any insight, any ideas for us, any thoughts, anything like that, we're certainly open to hearing. We're pretty sure that you know what you want to listen to. And if that's something that we can, you know, we can bring, then we're all ears. So by all means, reach out to us, let us know. And like Jesse said, a lot of you who reach out to any of the three of us at this point, it means a ton. Please know that. For those Patreons that we do have, thank you so much. And I mean that, to be willing to, you know, pay whatever it is a month to support what it is that we're trying to accomplish means more than you know. So you're a big reason why we want to make this better and try to improve it and figure out ways to continue, because you guys motivate us. So thank you for that.
You're here. We're all
cheers
for you, non-watchers.
In my paper straw.
Hey, I actually think that's a great segue, Sarge, into the question of the week.
All right. So Stan from Law State of Franklin, he wrote in and sent us a question. He said, okay, guys, I have a question and want to see how you answer. As a veteran, when you're out and about, dinner, shopping, or whatever, and get the thank you for your service, do you feel that it is sincere or said as a reflex reaction to, you know, whatever, not with no true belief behind it? So I'm going to lead off on this because when I was in the Army and especially in recruiting command, you're always out in the public eye in the civilian world in uniform. And, you know, it's hard to say, but I want to believe that people genuinely are thankful and really mean what they say. And there are some people, like, you know, I can't tell you how many hugs I've got wearing that uniform. And, you know, be quite honest with you, that's what kept me going for about 20 years, was just that little bit of appreciation here and there. It really kept me going and kept me, you know, my head up and feeling like, gosh, man, I live in a great place. So that's how I feel. And now, in other respects, you know, I see, you know, you'll see things on like TikTok, YouTube, or whatever not, and you'll see people just outright just totally disrespect, you know, veterans and stuff like that, you know, and say that, you know, they're communist or dirt and stuff like that, you know, garbage. You know, you're just the bottom of the earth because you had no other words to go in life, and that's why you're in the military, you know, shit like that.
Stop watching John Kerry's TikTok, Sarge.
Who's John Kerry?
Oh, he's the dude who ran for president, and he said that, nah, you're only in the military because you couldn't handle college. That's not a quote, but it was something.
Did he
like
really
that.
Say that? Damn. I must have been asleep during that time.
Yeah.
But that's my sentiment on all that. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Flash, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, for me, I can't say as I've ever felt like when someone said that to me that I took it any other way than, you know, with the utmost respect. And I certainly didn't take it as it was hollow or, you know, sounded any other way than that they appreciated it. And so that's my two cents. I it's just ironic. I don't live anywhere really near a base or a post or anything currently. But I saw a young man getting out of a vehicle the other day here in the city, and it was clearly in uniform. And my wife and I were walking right by him, and I said, "Hey, appreciate you, you know, what you do, you know, for our country." And of course, he, you know, did the normal, "Hey, thank you very much, my pleasure," or whatever. And so that's my experience. I've never found it to seem hollow or anything other than, you know, legit. So
yeah, and I guess I'm the third to say the same thing. You know, I think sometimes adults might say it out of habit. I wouldn't call it hollow, but I'd call it maybe just they're well-mannered and they think that that's the right thing to say.
Exercising courtesy.
Yeah. And whether or not they truly mean it or not, I think they truly mean to be courteous. Mm-hmm. You know, I have never once felt slighted by it, but I will say one thing that's super impressive to me every time. And that's when like teenagers say it, right? Like kids are just a bunch of punks anyways. And then so when a young person says it to me, the first thing I think of is like, you're a good kid. You know what I mean? Like, you're the reason why we did this.
Right.
Yep. Like I want to meet your dad sort of thing, you know, your mom and dad, like you've got good parents. And so even though I'm not unappreciative when adults do it, I'm generally more taken back when the young folks do it. And I'm specifically talking like teenage, right? I'm not talking about 22-year-old young. I'm talking about 14-year-old young. And I think that's pretty special. I will kind of flip it on its head a little bit. Sometimes I feel like the imposter when people say thank you for your service. I would say if anything, I'm the one that has like an issue with it. And I don't really know why. I mean, I don't, you know, I think sometimes when people tell me that, they have this image that I was boots on the ground, you know, covering my buddy, being a body shield with bullets flying all over the place or something like that, you know? And so I'm like, I mean, I don't know how many times my life was in jeopardy or anything, you know what I mean? But that's not really the point. That's like a whole other issue. So
that's not the point at all. And I feel pretty adamant about that. And you guys know I've talked about that before. I don't care if you were in the kitchen, you know, making dinner for, you know what I mean? Like I'm big on, my God, if you wear the uniform, you got my respect. I've never really looked at it that way, I guess. Everybody has a role. I was in fire protection for 30 years and I it wasn't a whole lot of bullets screaming by my head either, I assure you, but I know I gave a lot without having bullets screaming by my head and without dragging my buddy to the nearest bush, you know? So I don't know. That's my angle. I think if you wore the uniform, by golly, you deserve respect and honor. And as long as you wore it proudly and did the best you could do, I don't know.
I can kind of relate to what you're saying, Jesse, because I've always felt uncomfortable when that happens to me, to be honest with you. I'm like, you know, I feel like I never feel deserving of it, I guess.
Somebody
I would say
says, because thank you for your service.
Yeah, just because I just feel like, you know, I was just doing my job. That's what I'm doing. I'm here to, someone's got to do it, right? I mean, I'm here. I took this job and I appreciate you thanking me for doing this job. But I don't know. I always just felt a little uncomfortable when people say it to me. It's just, I just feel like, I don't know how to say it. I was also that knucklehead who, you know, could care less if I got an award for anything. I'm just that kind of guy, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I'm a knucklehead. What can I say?
Now, I think for me, it's not that I don't feel undeserving. I just feel like the military gave me so much more than what I gave it. You know, like my job was my little boy dream. Like, so somebody thanking me for achieving my little boy dream, like, just seems a little, you know, so, and to be clear, if I met somebody with my exact same service record, right, I wouldn't say that they didn't deserve it. You know what I'm saying? It's just me personally. It's just like, man, the Navy gave me my whole life, you know, everything I enjoy today, the Navy gave me. And I see you raising your eyebrows. Yeah, I earned it, right? Like I earned it. I gave a lot back, but for somebody to say, thank you, I feel like that's like you're welcome. I mean, it's almost like if somebody thanked a Major League Baseball player, or professional football player for the enjoyment they gave on a Sunday, you know, like those guys are playing a game for a living. And that's what I felt like. I felt like I was playing a game for a living for a lot of my career.
That's definitely a way better explanation than what I was trying to give, Jesse.
Flash is not satisfied with any of this nonsense.
I don't get it at all.
No.
I feel like I earned, I'm not saying I earned people's respect. I guess that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying people should come seek me out and thank me.
But if you want to, he's in Clinton, Missouri. Seek him out.
you're being humble, Jesse, is what it is. And I know for a fact you worked your tail off to accomplish what you did. And
we all did
your name and all that. But I don't know, maybe at some point in my career, I've kind of felt the same way where I'm like, good gosh, it's just a job. Like you flip burgers, I fight fires. So I guess maybe in that way, if that kind of is similar, then I can understand it. But I certainly don't. I don't seek it out. I prefer not to ever wear my uniform again. I went through that and I don't I mean, I just, that chapter for me is closed. I'm glad that I served, but I don't know.
Is it because you don't want to take it to the tailor to stretch it out a little bit? Is that why you don't want to wear it again?
That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
The blues never did fit. I bought the blues in one of my skinny phases, and I'll never get back in them again.
Now I will say I did enjoy some of the benefits of that, though. For instance, I was invited to numerous hunting opportunities. First time I ever went pheasant hunting is because I put this young man in the Army, and his father said, "Hey, come on out this weekend. We'll do some pheasant hunting." Man, I had a blast that weekend. It was awesome. A lot of free meals. I've sat down with so many families eating meals and just talking about military and life in general and politics, you name it. Learned a lot of stuff about, you know, just average Joe America out there. It was a great experience. And that is, I'll never forget any of that type of stuff. That was really a great benefit of being in the service, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyways, that's my little 2 cents there.
Good stuff. Good question.
Mm-hmm. So Jesse, I don't know if we covered this on the last episode, but you had an IG video that blew up and got like over 100,000 views, right?
Yeah, I did. Had nothing to do with woodworking. not a single beer tap was highlighted, but no, it was a good one. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
Oh, did we? Okay.
No, we did, and that's a good segue. So you guys, I'm apologize
exactly where I was heading to.
Yeah. So I know what you were doing. So forgive me if this doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but this does kind of go full circle back to kind of what we already talked about. And I have to hate a little bit on Instagram tonight just to stay on brand. I feel like I don't think it would be a show if I didn't hate on social media a little bit. But yeah. So here's my. A little journey of reels for me, right? So that one blew up. And when I say blew up, I mean, there's people on here that'd be like 134,000 views. That's small stuff, right? Like that's fair. But for me, that was a lot. And it took relatively little work, right? Like all I did was post the reel and it did it. So then I've been probably posting about 3 to 4 reels a week since that happened, I think. And some of them get decent, you know, decent airplay. Some of them are, you know, dead before I even post them. You know, it's just this strange thing. This algorithm, this whole formula on Instagram. And it was really funny. So I was having this thought, and it's something that was like obviously I've expressed a lot of like sort of cynicism towards social media since we've been on this show. And I've never really been able to put my finger on why I don't like it or what it is I just don't like. And I was thinking about these reels, and my daughter's like, "Dad, you got to put music that's trending on these reels. That's why they're not doing good. You got to put trending music on here." And I'm like, "I hate the trending music. Like the trending music sucks. Like I don't want that trend music crap. Like that's not the song I want on there." That's it. Yeah. I'm assuming that's trending like crazy right now. That's and awesome. Yeah, that's perfect.
This video, we've learned how to remove.
There you go. And it just wasn't feeling right. And so anyways, I was just having this really, like I posted this video, this last reel. And at the same time I posted it, one of our very loyal listeners flipped me some crap in a comment. And it was perfect timing on his part. And I'm going to screw up what he said, but essentially was like, "Oh, look at you, Mr. I post reels now on Instagram," you know, like clearly calling me out a little bit because he knows I've been sort of against it for a while. And I was like, "That's just so funny you said that," because I truly was just thinking about how I never want to post another reel on Instagram ever again. Like this was like, I don't know, maybe one of those dirty college phases, you know, that kids have, you know, maybe that was my dirty Instagram reel phase that I was having. And, when one takes off 200,000 views, I'd be lying if I didn't say it wasn't fun, right? That's a fun experience when something that you post just lights it up. Okay, so for 4 hours, my phone was on fire. Those 4 hours are over. I have 100,000+ views on that video. How has my life changed for the better because of it? I would argue it was worse because I had to make a bunch of comments to a bunch of people that I don't care about. they're not customers. They're not contacts. I'll never talk to them again. They're, you know what I'm saying? Like it was just a lot of work and I got nothing out of it. Like there are a few select people who comment on my post who I actually care about. And so this is my unsolicited advice. This is my epiphany on Instagram. This is me coming full circle. If we never do another show again, I feel like I'll have said my piece on Instagram. So one, we all talk about this. We all talk about this algorithm. Nobody knows what it is. It's a mystery. We do our best to try to figure it out. And then we're expected to use things that are trending. We're expected to do what everybody else is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, as veterans, none of that should make you feel good. Entering a situation that you have no knowledge or control over, and then forced to do something that everybody else is doing to get to an end result. That's not how we're trained. Like, that's not, like, I don't like entering situations where I have no control over. Now, there is a skill to Instagram, right? Like, people are good at it. Some people have that skill. They can do their thing. But I don't, that is not, I mean, at the end of the day, all that work on Instagram, they can close your account tomorrow. And all those followers that you worked for, all those Instagram contacts, all gone, right? They can completely change. Like, there's no guarantees that any of that's going to be anything. And it brings me back to what Jason Bent was saying about having your own website, something that you actually own and you're the custodian of, you control, right? Like, I think there's some serious value in that. And so this is where my unsolicited advice comes from. I think people need, like, I understand the desire to want to increase your business on social media. I do. Like, it's a cheap cost of entry. It doesn't cost anything except for time, which arguably is our most valuable resource, right? So, but it doesn't cost any monetary thing. So you can get into it fairly easily. But my recommendation is, if you want to be social, if you want to be a successful business, get out in your community, go be social locally and use Instagram as a supplement to that. You know, go make your own content out in the real world. Go make real friends that you can shake their hand, that you could have a beer with, right? And like, I'm just going to list some guys here, because what I'm saying, this is, I don't mean to contradict it, but this, I promise this will hopefully make sense in a second. But Mike at Otter Mill, Matt at Overkill Woodcraft, Charlie Warrior Chef, Logan Newman Specials, Dave at Kalamazoo Bowworks, Ryan at Big Pop Brewing, Ben at Ben Cantwell Art, Josh at Rustic Muse, John at Old Hickory Forge, and Michelle and Patrick at Leather by Dragonfly. And I'm missing a ton of other people. Those are my heroes, man. And it wouldn't be if it wasn't for this podcast. And this is where I'm coming full circle, right? Like, the only reason I care about them at all, like, that I have any sort of, I don't want to say like Instagram relationship with, but you know, like I will, if I see their post, I will comment every time. If any of those guys are listening to this episode, if I don't comment on your post, because I just flat out didn't see, you know what I'm saying? Like those guys, and I'll add you two gentlemen as well, right? Like, onto that, like, this podcast, like, even though it's not physically present, we are still with each other in a way that you could never be on Instagram. And it's about the people, right? And that's why I don't like social media, because it's not social. It's not people. Get out in your community, make a difference locally, be with your family. Like, stop wasting time on this crap and don't post things just because Instagram tells you have to post it. It's silly and nobody's going to listen to me. Everybody's going to keep posting and that's fine, but just, that's not healthy. Like, go make relationships.
So I don't know if you noticed this, Jesse, but there has been a little trend in the whole pushing back on the Reels thing. So lately, you'll see a lot of posts where people are saying, oh, Instagram don't like pictures anymore. Instagram don't like photos anymore. Well, here's your Reel for 7 seconds of a photo.
Yeah, I so see that pushback. People are
posting their photos now and you know, they're just making it into a 7 second Reel, you know?
But in and of itself, that again is a trending thing, right?
And
I know people make contacts on Instagram, but like a cute little emoji response is not a personal relationship, right? And I just feel like that's missing. And it doesn't bring me any personal joy to have people I don't even know comment on something I did. Like, I'm, you know, not naming names. Somebody may have called me a narcissist at one point, but I don't need people to tell me that my stuff looks cool. You know what? I know my tap handles kick butt. Like, I know that. Like, I don't need somebody to tell me that, right? Like, I know the work and the energy and the years that I've put into that crap. I don't need to post a picture and have it, you know, attain some sort of virality to make me feel validated that I know how to do, you know, whatever it is I know how to do, right? That's not what I need. What I do need, man, I need local friends. Like, that is what brings me joy, right? I need guys I can go hunting with. I need guys that I can go fishing with. I need guys that can come over to my house and just have a couple beers and play some poker, you know? And again, I think social media is super powerful as a supplement to a successful business. Like, make your business successful and then highlight it on Instagram. Don't try to, I don't know. A lot of this is just me sort of closing out why I'm a little bit bitter on it. I just, to me, the idea of being like having to, like, we all talk about originality, right? Posting something that's trending is the complete opposite of originality. And originality does not get awarded. And I don't want to like call anybody out, but I see stuff that is absolutely brilliant on Instagram and it's just a picture and he's got 3 likes, 6 likes, you know, I add a 7th like and a comment because what he's doing is absolutely phenomenal, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the trending music. He doesn't care about all that crap. He doesn't need validation that his work is amazing. Now the counter argument to that is like, well, I'm just on Instagram because it's fun. And if that's the case, good on you. That's not my version of fun. Like, that's just me. I mean, that's where that viewpoint and mine are going to separate. Like, and I think I just listed about 10, 12 people, maybe. Like, I don't even have enough time to view and comment on the 12 people I actually care about. And to be honest, like, I can list every single person that we've had on this show in that list. I just, again, if you've been a guest on this show, chances are I would comment, like, I appreciate you and I would comment, like, I feel like I know you better now. And I would comment. If I don't, it's because I don't see your post because I'm not on Instagram. Anyways, if that gives you, I hope that clears up why I'm so anti-Instagram. It kind of all came to me. I don't know. I wish we could all get together and have a beer in person. That's what I want, you know? So
yeah, I respect and appreciate your opinions, Jesse. It's been kind of fun listening to your perspective on social media, sometimes IG specifically, throughout the last couple seasons, because you do always seem to have that, you know, it's kind of like the poke of the bear, kind of, you know, you've got a pretty strong opinion about it, and I can appreciate it. I never really thought about it until you said it, that part about, you know, when I see the Rustic Muse and I see Leather by Dragonfly and I see those same folks you mentioned, I also make an effort to like and or comment or whatever the case is on those posts. And I think I never thought about it, but I think you're exactly right. It's we've built somewhat of a relationship with these folks and an appreciation for their craft. And just because of that relationship, I want to support them. So I think you're exactly right. I'll say in closing, I'm not sure why you had to move to Oregon, because all those things you said you're looking for, I'm the guy. Yeah. I'm the guy that'll hunt with you and fish with you and play poker and drink beer. I'm your guy. So it's too far away, brother.
I know. Can't have it all, right? Mm-hmm. Can't have it all. But I, and at the end of the day, I don't know people's motivations for being on that. You know, I don't. And I don't feel like I'm different from anybody else in the sense I know I get caught up. Like when that reel took off for 100,000+ people or whatever, like it fed those, those endorphins. Like I wanted, you know, the dopamine hit again of another viral video. Like I'm not any different than anybody else. Like I wanted to replicate that. And I didn't quite get that level of success, but I've had some videos do pretty dang well. And it seemed like the better I was doing, the less fun I was having, cause it just required that much more work. And it just, it was getting further away from what I actually want out of my life. So
I'm with you guys. Anytime I see a post that comes across, that's someone that's been on the show, I definitely make an effort to say something meaningful at the least. But I've also, you know, I've got a little more time vested in Instagram than you guys do. And I actually have a lot of non-military people that I converse with on a regular basis, like literally talk about all kinds of stuff, not just making stuff. So, you know, I have all kinds of relationships and these are really great people. And a lot of them are like make some phenomenal stuff that I feel I feel honored just to be able to have the opportunity to talk to those people. That's how good some of the stuff that they make is. And, you know, that's and I get some great ideas from them too. So, you know, that's also another advantage to making these type of friends and connections, which is really nice. But that's my little two cents on that.
There's no doubt that social media opens up connections with people that you could never have before. I acknowledge that. And I think a lot of what I have said and saying tonight and all that, it's almost like a self-defense mechanism to prevent me, because I do have a very, like, I am an all-in sort of person. And if I go all into Instagram, there are other parts of my life that are going to fall off. And I don't want those things to fall off. And they're far more important to me than generating any sort of interaction on Instagram. And so a lot of this, it's a very personal thing. I'm not going to presume to know what anybody is on there for. I mean, you know, I'm not even trying to convince people. My only advice to people is, if you are not currently pushing your business in your hometown community, if you need validation from people on Instagram and you haven't tried going to your local VFW post or something, if you are missing out on human connections, please go do it. And I mean, if you're looking for, like, I'm not an entrepreneur or a successful one by any means, but just as an example of something easy that I did, like, I live in Pendleton is defined by the Pendleton Roundup, like one of the largest rodeos in the country. And I went and got the license to make Pendleton Roundup merchandise. You know, I can now make Pendleton Roundup tap handles. And it's just got me involved in an event that defines the town. So I'm meeting people in the biggest money making facility in the town of Pendleton, which it's 16,000 people and it draws like 150,000 people into the town. So this is not something that's going to make me rich. It's just one thing, right? It's just that is more important to me than anything I'm doing on Instagram. And it's an easy thing, and it's easy business generation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's easy. That's a no brainer. And every town has something, whether it's a cheeseburger festival or a, you know, hot dog eating contest. Every town has something that you could probably pretty easily get yourself involved in to make your merchandise in one way or another. You know,
Jesse, it only takes just that one person that you talk to that could possibly generate tons of business for you down the road, not just from him, but just by people he says, hey, you need to talk to this guy. Hey, you need to talk to this guy. Hey, you need to talk to this guy. And then they tell their friends, and next thing you know, you're in on that person's entire network. You know all the people he knows.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I've learned that quite a bit here in the last 2 months. So, but I mean, something I knew when I was in the Army as in recruiting command, but still, you know, I haven't been practicing that in like 10 years until, you know, I started getting out there and I'm jabbed to start making money.
Yeah. You know, a majority of my non-military business is still coming. Like, a brewery was the first brewery in Chesapeake, Virginia, first microbrewery to open up in Chesapeake. And I simply sent them an email like, hey, super excited that you're coming to Chesapeake, my home. You know, this is where I live. This is you're going to be a local establishment. Very excited for you guys to come in. Just FYI, I make beer tap handles. Would love to make beer tap handles for y'all. If not, still excited that you're coming to Chesapeake. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're still generating business for me weekly, 10 years later, you know? So it's not hard.
Awesome.
But I don't know. I just want people to be happy. I know personally, I have felt greatly disconnected from people and camaraderie and all those things that we had experienced when we were in the military. And, you know, between retiring, moving to a new town, all that stuff, if I relied on nothing but social media to get those contacts, I think I would have lost my mind. You know, you got to go out there, and it's about the people. So that's it. That's my whole spiel. If it doesn't make any sense, I'm sorry. I know I talk in circles. I know I won't shut up, but that's it.
Makes sense to me.
If nobody gets anything else out of that 15, 20 minute rant, if nothing else gets out of it, I want people to understand how important and awesome it's been to have these guests on our show. Like it truly has been a pleasure.
I totally agree.
You know, and the fact is,
is like some of these guys, I mean, we got on the show because we were like, hey, you know, we told them our mission statement and they got behind the mission statement. If we just said, hey, we're three bozos trying to put on a show, do you mind coming and talking to us? You know, they wouldn't have been on the show, you know, so it facilitated that. And that one goes to the quality of the person that agreed to come on the show and spend their time with us. And it also has just selfishly been a real pleasure.
Like, some of those guests are, you know, super busy. I mean, they had to really squeeze us into their schedule to show up when we asked them to show up. And that, you know, that says a lot about, you know, what they believed in as far as us goes. And we really appreciate that. They've all been like super awesome guests and I had a lot of fun. I mean, learned a lot of stuff from a lot of our guests too. A ton of stuff.
Well, Sarge, just thinking about over the years, it seemed like every time we had a guest that had maybe a specialized skill, it seemed like your next video is you trying to attempt, you know, you trying to learn that new skill, you know, and that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, we've talked about community over competition, all those different things, but we get these guests on here and next thing you know, you're doing epoxy inlays into ashtrays and you're doing different skills that you previously.
Yeah, they do. They definitely do strike my interest and get my juices flowing. And, you know, I'm always up for learning something. I just wish I had a lot more time to invest in those type of things. But, you know, I still work full-time jobs like a lot of us do out there. So you squeeze in that little tiny bit and then you go, okay, I got to move on to the next thing.
Yep.
I didn't get to do any metallurgy though, unfortunately.
That's coming.
Well, this, I think this is a pretty good show. Really appreciate you guys coming on here and hanging out with us every week. Every time we have a new episode, you guys out there are why we're here. Really appreciate all the comments. And you know, we didn't mention this either, but we have a 5-star rating over 14 reviews. And we got a 5-star rating out of 14 reviews. That's pretty darn good, man.
I was going to say, you don't say over 14. You say like over 1,000 or something, but 14, you can just say we got 14 5-star reviews.
Would be okay. Yeah.
Hey, I don't care what you say. I think that's pretty good. Hey, whatever. 14 people out there said we were 5 freaking stars. All right. So there we go. Some of those comments were actually pretty well thought out and very well meaning. And I really appreciate those that people out there who actually left us comments and a review on the iPod podcast player, whatever. Cause I know that's a pain in the ass to get a review on those. It really is. I still have a problem trying to do one. But I think that's going to, I think, what do you guys think? You think just about the end of the show right here? How y'all feel?
Yeah, think so.
All right, because I'm out of booze, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm out of booze, and I got a funny feeling down low, so, you know.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? I think I might have been drinking a little too much lately because
I'm in trouble.
This was three-finger shot in the 7-Up, and it's only made me happy. I haven't been tipsy. I'm just a little happy, so I don't know. Maybe I better start slowing it down, man.
Nothing wrong with being happy.
No.
All right. Well, anyways, appreciate everybody coming on and all you people out there listening, especially patrons who really stuck it out with us over the last 2 seasons. And yeah, stay tuned. Keep an eye out for us and we'll keep you updated. Other than that, I'm out of here.
Peace.
Still recording. Yeah. So, hey, we committed a sin almost as bad as forgetting our anniversary, but we forgot to thank like the one guy that we need to thank here. And that's Chris at Benchtop Woodwork. I mean, that guy has supported us in with time and effort and brilliance in ways that we can never really properly thank. So I'm sorry that we had to end the recording and start recording again to say thank you, Chris, but you're always on our mind and we always appreciate his input into the show. So
truly, dude, Chris, you've been with us through thick and thin and we really appreciate it. Even been a guest, which was awesome, twice actually. Our first, I think he's our only 2-timer, if I'm not mistaken. So really appreciate it. Also appreciate your friendship, Chris, and all the great conversations we have on the side there. So really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't really see this this thing moving past a certain point without Chris being in the background, doing a lot of the social media stuff for us, designing some posts, popping on the show, being a guest host for a couple episodes. Always brings a new, fresh perspective. And guy's sharp, man. Guy's sharp. Got a great family. Got to know Chris pretty well through all this. So it's, certainly consider him a friend, even if it's an IG friend. Appreciate you, Chris. Thanks, brother.
And Chris, if you hear this, give me a call. I'll take you to lunch. But you got to make sure you said you heard it on IG. I mean, on the podcast. All right.
All right. That's it, Chris. That's really it this time. Yep.
Until next time.
Feeling good. Ought to be Hollywood. We're the best. By test. Number one. Above the rest. Yeah. Dedicated. Stimulated. Percolated. All the way. All the way. Every day. Every day. 1 mile. 1 mile. No sweat. No sweat. 2 miles. 2 miles. Better yet. Better yet. 3 miles. 3 miles. All the way.